Hello and welcome to Your Sparkly Brand. We're here to inspire and empower female entrepreneurs like you. This podcast is all about delivering no fluff, high value content that helps you grow your business. It doesn't matter if you have no budget and are still DIYing everything on your own, we're giving you the tips, tools, and strategies you need to build a sparkly empire. I'm Lauren Tassi, your copywriter and launch strategist, and I'm joined by my co-host, marketing and branding expert, Megan Gersh. Hey, Megan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm having quite a busy week, so that is keeping me on my toes.
Awesome. Will you introduce us to our guest?
Yes, absolutely. So I am so excited to introduce you guys to our guest today, Allison Sugihara. For over a decade, Allison has obsessively honed her expertise in branding, design, and content strategy. She helps creatives and business owners confidently showcase their passions through digital marketing. She has been declared a culture creator by her comrades and is devoted to empowering individuals to cultivate their purpose and creativity by intuitively charging their own path. She's worked with a variety of brands from small businesses to startups, all the way up to corporate clients like Disney. Her mission is to continuously create space for purpose-driven entrepreneurs to simply prosper by doing what they love and being who they are. So welcome to the podcast, Allison. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like we've been internet friends for a long time and it's fun to finally meet you face to face.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Allison, before we jump into your story, we like to start each episode by sharing our sparkly moment of the week. It's like a little win or a celebration or something that made you feel kind of sparkly. So Meg, what was your sparkly moment this week?
So I had a longtime client come back to me for some repeat business. So that was kind of exciting. It's a design project that I'm going to be working on for them. And, you know, it just always feels good to have those clients like come back to you and like, you feel like they really trust you, like with the mission and the branding and all of that. So yeah, that's making me feel a little sparkly. What about you?
Ooh, that's awesome. So I've been doing, I think sort of as I transition to more being an agency and not just being like a freelancer so much, I've been so much better this past week about like ending my day and actually having it be the end of my workday. I used to be so bad at just being like, okay, well, I'm kind of done with this, but I'm also going to go over here and working something personal for a little bit, but then I might come back to it. And your brain just like never checks out. So past few days, I've just been like, close the computer, go do something completely different and you're not coming back to it. So that feels good.
Awesome. I definitely relate to that feeling. Allison, do you have one that you want to share?
Yeah, I think I have a couple if that's allowed.
Yeah.
One is I cleared my desktop. That's
yay. You know,
kind of like end of the day, like this is my time. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but that really is. That's how I feel about my desktop and clearing out my notifications. But tomorrow I finally have a day off in between just this, like it's been madness lately. I've been so busy. So I'm looking forward to one day where I'm just not going to do anything.
That's awesome. I love
that
so
much. Sparkly for me.
I also recently cleaned my desktop and like the thing that you get from that is just like pure elation. Like, it's just like, I really did something here.
Okay, I need to do that. Adding it to my list. All right. So let's get into it. Allison, why don't you start us off by telling us a little about your journey? How did you come to start your business?
It's kind of a weird, you know, like I feel like we all kind of fall into what we're doing. And the way I even started my business was because I couldn't get a job after college because it was the recession and there was nothing available. So I went back to serving tables and it kind of turned into like, I don't know how, if you felt the same way, if you went to college and when you graduated college, like, I don't know anything. And that's kind of how I felt. So I felt like this need to just learn on my own. And so I just started freelancing. Serving became my networking platform, basically. And I started getting paid to like consult with people for Facebook, for business, and do a logo here or there. And that just kind of like naturally progressed and happened after I started networking. It was like, okay, I think I could probably do this. But it's been, I want to say like my whole life of being this entrepreneur mind, wanting to do all these things on my own. And what started this business was a chain, like a domino effect of trying out a bunch of different things. I've done everything from like creating t-shirts and promotional graphics and hand weeding stickers for people to like creating my own blog and then finally working at a startup and then finally landing in branding and just starting my own agency, which is a whole nother journey too. It's just been like,
and you work with your husband, right? Has it always been that way? Or did you start the business and then he came on board later?
Yeah, I started the business. So the business I have now, which is the marketing branding agency, I started that about 8 years ago at this point. And then my husband jumped on board 5 years ago, like right after we got married, he was so miserable in his job. And we were like, okay, let's do it. Could have been a super maker. It was a make or break moment, essentially. like, if we're going to get married, why don't we just become business partners too? Let's do it. So it's been really fun to grow together and be where I'm at now in comparison to where I was, really being in that freelancer journey and then growing a team and having my husband come on board and just expanding everything from there.
Do you guys kind of divide the tasks? Like, do you, like, is one side creative and one side is kind of like more like operations or something like that?
Yeah. It used to be me doing everything. I'm sure that's relatable, right? Like, I feel like I've always had a problem with delegation. And so I'm good at operations, but I'm better at creativity. And so he's definitely more on the operational side of things now because he understands that, like, wait, your magic is in the creation side. You should be out there marketing and doing that kind of stuff. And that's been an interesting journey in comparing those roles because I wanted to stay the designer, like the head designer at my company. And then I lost interest in that. And because I don't like designing for other people, actually. And then I maneuvered into like creative direction. And then I was like, I don't like organization as much as, like, even if I'm good at it, I don't think I want to do it. And then after that, it was like, I just want to be the community facing person that helps bring people through the door. And so it's always a journey, but yeah, I think clearly defining the roles is so crucial for the partnership because it can get muddied like so easily.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't even imagine what that must be like. Like, I mean, my husband and I both kind of like work from home and it's certainly like, I feel like sometimes we're sharing space a little bit, just like office and like whatever, but it's so interesting whenever I like chat with people that I'm like, oh, like, how is that? Like, you know, like, cause it would be, it seems like it would be fun, but like it maybe, you know, that work-life balance kind of needs work as well.
Yeah. I have separate office space. He has separate office space. That's crucial because what we do is so different. Mm-hmm. And then also making sure that when we're going out, that it's like no work talk. Like we have to actually like establish like no work talk, unless we're going to dinner and we want to throw it on the tab of, yeah, we talked about work, right? We talked about work. Yeah. But we have to be very cognizant of like separating our time because it blends so easily. And sometimes it's exhausting. And it's been interesting too, because like I'm a night owl, he's an early bird. So I also get going at like 11 PM and he's kind of winding down and he's like, stop talking about work. I'm like, oh yeah, sorry.
We talk a lot about burnout, like kind of on the podcast. And I know that in marketing as an entrepreneur, like it's really, really easy to get burnout. So how do you have any suggestions on how we can make marketing more sustainable and realistic? Because I know you talk a lot about that in your content about like, you know, doing what is best for you or like starting at a good place for that makes sense for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's kind of figuring out how you operate first, like understanding, are you the kind of person that's process oriented or are you somebody that is a little bit more fly by the seat of your pants? And so that's been kind of my way of figuring out how to create sustainability within my own methods, because I'm a little bit more chaotic and inspiration based. And some of the clients that I work with are very much process oriented. So I think it's like tapping into what makes you tick first and what you like, understanding your own boundaries, understanding your yeses, your noes. I think that's so critical for understanding how that should cultivate the strategy then moving forward. Because again, if you're process oriented, then batch filming is probably for you. And same with, you know, utilizing Airtable or other softwares and platforms that can help you be more organized. Whereas like planning does not work for me. I'm a content first person. I create the content and then I figure out what to do with it from there.
Yeah. I've never I struggle with any sort of content creation, social media showing up kind of thing. I am not fly by the seat of my pants. I never really thought about it that way. That's such an interesting perspective. I'm like, oh yeah, I think I need those processes. I need the steps to go through because otherwise I'm just sort of like stuck.
Yeah. And I think that's like understanding how you operate. For me, it's been such a journey to figure that out because I've always been a little like fly by the seat of my pants. I mean, clearly even in telling you what roles I want in my own business and how that constantly changes and being okay with it, like really just owning that for myself and going, okay, like now I know what I need. So for me, it's just helped me cultivate a strategy that works for me, that's more sustainable. Like flying by the seat of my pants actually makes me calm instead of the opposite.
So I know authenticity is something you like to talk about. What does it mean to you to show up authentically? And like, why is that so important?
I feel like being authentic is such, and it's such a buzzword now, right? Where we hear that all the time. And so you kind of, your eyes maybe glaze over. And I also think it's a little misunderstood that especially especially with platforms like Instagram, for instance, where everything is look at me, or I'm showing off what I'm doing, or I feel pressure to show every aspect of my life for better or for worse. And I think that's where for you, you get to decide what authenticity means for you. For me, it's kind of having, again, like understanding your boundaries and knowing what you're willing to share and what you're not willing to share. I'm private about certain things, but I'm very transparent and open with my emotions with other things, and understanding what that looks like for you and how you want to protect your energy or how you want to share that energy and what level of vulnerability you want. I think it's just really owning the parts of you that you're willing to share. And that's how you end up showing up instead of feeling pressure to show everything and be vulnerable all the time. Because that's not really for everyone either. You know, if that works for you, I think that's awesome. And if it doesn't, that's okay too.
Yeah. I think one of the first things that's coming to my mind when we're talking about, like, especially like your content and authenticity, it's funny that you brought up Instagram, because like Instagram versus TikTok is just like two separate cultures to me. And like what it means to be authentic on TikTok is just completely different than what authenticity, and I just air quoted that, but like authenticity means on Instagram. So
yeah, definitely. Especially because like TikTok maybe opened up a lot of the content creation world for so many of us, because it's raw, it's unfiltered. And to me, that's authentic, but it's up to you to decide what that authenticity means and then like what level, again, that you want to share.
Absolutely. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see entrepreneurs making when it comes to social media?
One, I think maybe not just showing up and trying. If you want to, if you want to be there, like you're not there if you're not there. So just being okay with figuring it out. I think when, like, back to kind of thinking about Instagram, when we first started, everything was really curated. It's really pretty. And I feel like there's this pressure to be professional and buttoned up or look a certain way. And that's not really the case anymore. So I think that holding yourself back is a mistake. And I also think that maybe also consuming a lot and trying to take everything that everyone's saying, and like, I would say, take everything with a grain of salt. I almost like start to look at other creators and try to get inspired by just like what is going against the grain or outside of the box. Because now with apps like TikTok, it's just only shown that I think it's going to get more wild. It's like the wild, wild west out there, and that anything goes. Like nobody knows what they're doing. So I think the biggest mistake is just holding yourself back maybe, and listening, taking to heart too much of the advice that's out there that tells you that you have to show up a certain way. You definitely don't have to show up one certain way.
Yeah. I definitely see where you're coming from with that. It's like, obviously you need to consume a certain amount to like stay like up on like, you know, what's happening on the platform, what types of content people are kind of experimenting with. But like, yeah, at some point, you know, you have to put the brakes on, figure out like your own strategy, like what you are going to be focusing on putting out there. And it's interesting, like one of the other people that we've had on the podcast was that we were actually chatting back and forth. And she said, one of the things that she likes to do is to look at leaders in other industries, which I thought was really interesting. So like block out the noise from your own industry. So like, if you're focusing on marketing tips or like whatever, like don't look at any other marketers, because you don't want to sound like everybody else that is talking in the industry. She was like, I go to other industries and see what other people are doing and see how I can like apply that to my own content, which I thought was super interesting.
That is really interesting. I love that advice.
Yeah, that's a good one. The other thing too, of what you were just saying too, I feel like that comes back to like the authenticity thing, you know, set your own rules, set your own boundaries for how you want to show up. So that way you can manage your own energy and what it takes from you.
Yeah. I think especially because with video marketing, it's taxing. That's a lot. And again, you're like, it's vulnerable. Like you're showing these parts of yourself. You're creating, to me, like, you know, creativity is a vulnerable thing. So it's taking energy from you. And that's why I've shifted from this. Like I used to be very much like, yes, curate the brand and this is how it is, and like follow the rules and all of that. And then something happened where I was like, no, fuck the rules. Like it doesn't matter. Just keep showing up. It's for me, it's just worked. And so it's interesting to go from somebody who used to be more of that process, you know, oriented person to then just embracing, especially as an entrepreneur, that everything's going to change. And like, if you get committed to something, especially on social media, it's going to change in like a second. So get comfortable being uncomfortable, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. In the course of your business, like what has been like one turning point that you've experienced like as an entrepreneur?
Kind of probably understanding that things aren't always the same. And then like for me, like I had mentioned before, I like to change my roles and I kind of just like go with the flow and give myself what I need. And so I think that one of the bigger turning points or I hit turning points is when I decide I want to move on to the next thing that I want to do and being okay with that. That's been kind of an interesting thing as an entrepreneur is like you have a vision, right? When you first start your company or your business, like this is what I want. And I used to want to create like a big agency. But what I realized like over the course of, especially during the pandemic, was that the more you grow as an agency, the more, even if you're making more money, like, well, one, that's more pressure that is now applied because there's expectations set, you know, and I know that's up to us to set the expectations for our clients as well, but that's the nature of the job. And especially within the social media space, because you're always constantly having to prove yourself. And for some reason, design and social media, everybody has a freaking opinion about it. And they feel like they're more of an expert than you are. So it just becomes incredibly taxing. So I've just realized that like, oh, I don't think I want to create what I like. My dreams have shifted. And so I think turning points for me have been in understanding that your goals can change. The vision could stay the same, but like your end goal could change and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to feel like I used to have like a mental block around that type of stuff too. Like if you didn't achieve a goal, like maybe that meant you like you were a failure. Like it doesn't mean that. It just means you're like pivoting. Like, it's just like, you know, you're making a turn on the road instead of just, you know, driving off the cliff.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Completely. It's like, cause like I said, you have this vision. And so when you're kind of going for it and then you stop midway and you're like, wait, do I want to do this? Especially if there's like a bad client scenario or something. For me, I don't think there's like one isolated incident. It's just been more self-discovery kind of stuff and allowing myself to do that and explore that and then go, okay, yeah, I don't want to build that type of agency. Now I'm going to shift gears. And just even my husband, when he first jumped on board, he was like, can we ever just stick to one thing? I'm like, welcome.
That's why we're entrepreneurs, is so we can change things up and do what excites us and give up on the things that don't.
Yeah. Especially if your audience is like, you know, receptive to other things or asking for other things, like that can definitely shift your brand and business too.
Is that what happened when you guys started to get into NFTs? Is that like how that kind of happened?
So we actually had a client, you know, I've been working with this company called Solve, and we were more like their social team, their partners. And in an effort to kind of crowdfund Solve, The Modernist was born, which is this collection of, you know, the artist and a sound producer and our CEO and another kind of engineer, tech engineer, well, creative engineer, I would call him. They came together and just had this idea for the NFT collection. So it's the same kind of thing. It was a natural progression and journey. Like, I want to get into NFTs. They were not expecting to get into NFTs. It just like kind of stumbled upon them. I think the CEO of Solve was at NFT NYC, not for NFT NYC. He was fundraising for Solve and then got invited to like a dinner. And then it was like a chain reaction of events that then he was like, hey, this is what we want to do. You guys want to like jump on board? I'm like, yeah, this is my time to learn about NFTs. And so that is how we wiggled our way in. It was a complete, it's like opportunity. How do I feel in my gut? Do I like this? Yeah. All right, here, I'll go this way. You know, I'm excited to dive in with you like outside of this about it.
So who do you look to for inspiration when it comes to marketing and branding? Like who are you just like, oh, wow, they are killing it right now with what they're doing.
It's really interesting because I actually love to explore the FYP and just find small creators. I think small creators who like don't know what they're doing actually inspire me the most because it's raw energy. It's like, I'm just seeing what sticks. Like when I first joined TikTok and I had my first like semi-viral video, I immediately started following like all the gurus, right? And I'm like, ooh, but then I start seeing the same regurgitated information and it worked for a while, but it was also like, wait, I'm in an echo chamber. I need kind of like you were talking about with the consumption, like I need to actually stop doing this so I can shift gears and get re-inspired. And if I see a smaller creator come through my FYP, I always try to like stop and listen because I just want to see what else is out there and like see how other people are thinking. So I just by nature end up getting inspired by smaller accounts that probably don't even know that they're inspiring me actually.
I love that. Are there any time-saving tools that you use kind of in your everyday workflow? Any kind of like, you know, like workflow style things you can kind of put us on?
As I mentioned before, I'm not a super process-oriented person. like I have my notes app. Honestly though, like Airtable has saved like our team. Our team loves to work in Airtable. I love like pushing Airtable out on some of my clients because I just think it's, I'm a visual person and some people are like, they're wired differently. So they like lists. So I like Airtable because you can use the list component. You can set up visual cards. You can set up a calendar. And by the way, Airtable is for managing your social platforms. And like, I wouldn't use it for me, but we would use it for clients for sure. And, you know, our employees.
Yeah. It seems like it really would be easy to like get feedback from clients in there and kind of like move things around from like state to state pretty much.
Yeah. And you can have like, you know, status changes where it's like, okay, now I need graphics or, you know, again, you like ping your teammates or exactly you can ping your clients and they can approve it, which ends up being really, really streamlined once you teach them how to use it. But I think it's a really awesome platform for organizing your thoughts around content.
So if you could go back in time and tell your younger business self one thing, what would it be?
Keep following your intuition. As much as you think, like if we're paralyzed by decisions these days, there's just so much information out there. There's so much. You're not going to move forward if you don't just move forward, if you don't just take the leap and do it. I think there are so many times when I was a younger entrepreneur where I would think so much about concept and how it was presented and the look and feel and all of that. And if I had just done it, which in that way I have done that, you know, it's been like however many years now I've been in this space, that's what's propelled me forward. Because again, like I would have never gotten into NFTs had I just like, it's all like journey of following what inspires you. And so I think just taking action and getting comfortable with not being comfortable is probably what I would tell my younger self. Like, hey, strap in. You feel like you don't know shit now, just wait till you're older. It's the same thing.
It's been such an interesting thing to kind of realize like in the entrepreneur journey about like, I feel like every time I get like a handle on one thing, it's like something else pops up where I'm like, oh, I know nothing. Great. back to square one. You know, that's what it takes to move from one level to another. But
yeah.
So are you working on any fun projects right now? Anything you can talk about that is coming up for you?
Yeah, I have a few. It has been, like I said, a really wild time lately. I was pretty like chill in our business. And then I've been kind of called to like show up for my own community and kind of shift like what I'm doing in my content. I know I'm very social media oriented because that's what's paid the bills, you know? And that's weird to say because I like talking about social media on my own terms. Like, so I kind of want to go from, you know, I have my agency, but I've been talking to my team about the creator collective taking over that and kind of letting that sustain on its own and still, because I built it, but like I have this whole other piece where I want to cultivate community where maybe I can filter them in. And like, if there's opportunities, have like a network of freelancers that can have more access to opportunities. So for me, it's like building my personal brand as Sugi and kind of stepping away from Polygon. That's been a really interesting thing. So I'm starting a new website. I just bought all of the domain names and I'm starting a podcast. And so I'm really kind of stepping into this role as like a creator, like a true creator outside of just social media. And there will definitely be that integration of social media realness and authenticity, but I'm really kind of being called to create my own brand and just come out with my own brand. And on top of that, I'm creating partnerships with like Solve and Modernist and starting to do like get into the NFT space and create this other project. But for me, being almost like a brand ambassador of sorts for other brands that I truly believe in, while also like cultivating my own brand as a creator is like where I'm headed. And I'm super excited about it.
That sounds so awesome. I'm here for it as you launch your own thing. So where can our listeners find you online now? And then also maybe in the future?
Yeah. Yeah. I am starting to move everything over. If you want to work with my agency, which is, you know, branding, websites, and marketing, that would be Polygon Market, Polygon, like a multi-sided shape, Polygon Market on social media and polygonmarket.com. For me, if you want to just follow me as a creator and get into like comedy, social media, real and friendships and life and all that good stuff and NFTs now, Sugi No Filter. So S-U-G as in grandma, I No Filter on TikTok, Instagram, and it will also be suginofilter.com.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sugi. I did it. We flipped. We can do both Allison and Sugi.
Everybody else calls me Sugi. So
yeah. So thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation. And thank you to everyone who's listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss one. Until next time, stay sparkly.